up. But I've had some very interesting classes within the last 2 weeks. Our head deacon and charger, I call him HDIC, Kelly, assists me in those classes. And I am bombarded, to a degree, with questions. Questions. Everybody has questions. Except men when they drive. They never stop to ask advice at a gas station where they're going. Women will always do it, but men don't. But I had this question. I'm going to propose it to you before I start tonight. And the question was this. I have a man from Africa, Dr. Chidi. I believe he's either from Nigeria or one of those northern African countries. And he says, I'm perplexed about something, Dr. Teller. I said, what is it? He says, I have a man who has three wives, and he comes to our church. Should I tell him to leave because he has three wives? Interesting question.
That is.
Interesting question. Who would ever think about it in the United States? Who would ever think about it in a Western European country? One man, one woman. I know in some of these countries, one man, one woman, five mistresses. But generally speaking, he was very sincere. Because this man and his congregation was a man that loved God. But he had three wives. He says, do I need to ask him to leave? I open that question up to you. What do you think?
No.
Pastor's absolutely right. But with that question, I said, no. Did he come into the church with three wives? He said, yes. Are they all saved, born again? Oh, yes. They love God? Oh, yes. And I said, the only thing I can tell you at this point is that you allow him in the church, you have fellowship with him and his wives and his many children. However, he is prohibited to being put into the diaconate or ordained as an elder or bishop. Doesn't mean that he can't serve, that he can't teach. The wives can minister in the capacity they are, but laying on hands is not his portion at this point. You see, people come to Jesus and they think there's all these prerequisites. I've got to be holy. I've got to get my act together. I can't be an alcoholic. I've got to give up this and I've got to give up that to become a Christian. How many of you know that God accepts us where we are?
Amen.
And it's up to us not to be judgmental, but to accept. This evening, I'm going to talk about two major points. The first one, and I'm sure some of you have heard it, it's called, and I'm going to write it on the board, I know this is not sermonic, but for your benefit, because the first one is stigmata. Stigmata. How many have heard that term before?
Yeah.
I know the Catholics in here, a few of us, have. A stigmata, we know within the 20th century, in the early part of the 20th century, there were two people that were recognized by the church and churches to having had the stigmata. For you that don't know what a stigmata is the fact that they have assumed and take on the marks of Jesus. They have holes in their hand, they have holes in their feet, they have a gash in their side. And there were two people. One was Teresa Newman, the other one was Padre Pio. They were unique individuals. But yet, they were known to the Roman church, but I believe there's been other stigmatas too. Why am I bringing it up? Thought you'd never ask. Go to Galatians 6 in your Bibles. Galatians 6:17. Galatians 6:17. I think we better get used to the fact that we are going to see many unusual things in the days to come ahead. Don't you agree, Pastor?
Yeah.
Many unusual things. And we've got to be prepared for it. A while back, there was this laughing. People just laughed and laughed and laughed. And people say, well, that's not God. Sure it is. Laughter is a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
may drive you nuts as they cackle and back and laugh. But we are going to see God move in ways that we have not seen him move before. And it will be strange, just like this man that had the three wives was strange. Now get this through your head. That poor man that had three wives is a man most miserable.
Your time's up.
How can you keep just one wife happy? I'm very fortunate. I have a wife that is filled with the Spirit and is always happy.
The girls are probably happy. They yeah. have to have one for the time.
But in... did you hear that, Sharon? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Two things. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Sometimes our emotions can get the best of us. Sometimes anger can get the best of us. Sometimes frustration and sadness can get the best of us. You know what I'm delighted to see tonight? Our two lovely ladies here. Wake up, lovely lady. The two lovely ladies dressed in this beautiful, what is it, turquoise, blue?
Yes.
Which speaks of heavenly things. The point I'm trying to bring out is that God is going to do many incredible things. When my mom was ill, when I was about 8 years old, we would go to Los Angeles, and there was a priest, a very holy man of God. Forget his religion. Forget he was Roman Catholic. But know this, that when he got caught up in the Word of God, he got caught up in the Mass, he levitated.
Oh, boy.
He levitated. Do you know what levitation is, Caleb? He came off the ground. Off the ground. How would you like to do that? So filled with God that gravity didn't bother him. So filled with God, he was able to transcend the natural. And we are only hearing a little bit of these things. Do you expect to hear these things on ABC News or CBS or NBC or the cable networks? No, because it goes against their narrative of the supernatural. We had a million-man march back in the 80s, Sharon and I attended. Million people on the mall praying for this nation. Which ushered in Ronald Reagan. And you didn't hear hardly anything on the national media. Why? Because it takes away from their narrative of humanism. A stigmata is the marks of Jesus. And according to, and I never saw Padre Pio, I did see photographs of him, but on Passover and certain holy days, they would bleed. Can you add anything to that, Kelly? Is that about right?
When he first got it, it would come and go.
Yes.
And then it stayed, and he wore brown jersey gloves with the fingers cut off, because not only did it bleed, but it left the smell of wildflower.
Ooh.
How about this last event that the show Brewer brought up? What about this man with the Bible that oil came out of? We are going to see things that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And tonight, did you listen to the prophetic word? Faith, hope, love? We are going to see faith produce incredible things. Mm-hmm. Incredible things. Greater work shall you do than you see me do, because I go to the Father. So, the question arises, and any time you get a theologian in there, you always have problems. Being one, I'm telling you. Being a theologian or a doctor of theology is overrated. You need an experience with Jesus, and you need to know his word. Because all of a sudden you start picking and choosing what scholar you want to listen to. And that is the problem with doctors. They get so fixated on their own ideas, they gather around those with itching ears. And that's something we can't do. It's like Yonggi Cho in South Korea, a million-member church. And he wasn't a big theologian, but people started interviewing him. They couldn't understand what he was doing. And he said, I pray, I obey. That's it. It wasn't deep theological thought or exegesis. I pray and obey. He hears from God. That is the greatest testimony of any saint, that they hear from the Lord and they act according to his purposes. But with that, there is a caveat. You have to know the scriptures. You have to be able to test the word of God by the scriptures. Now keep in mind, I would generally give this course in a master's program. But the scriptures are the canon. And many people don't get it. They think it must be absolutely in the Bible for it to be true. That isn't what it means. The canon means the standard. Everything is mentioned against the standard. The Bible is the measure. Now, there's a lot of research into the scriptures these days. Numerical codes, different ways of looking at it. It's called numerology, and people go nuts with this. Matter of fact, I had a program many years ago that I could do Bible codes, and you could find almost anything in there using Bible codes. Am I against Bible codes? No, I'm always for research and inquiry. But at the same token, I realize that as we search these things out, does it meet the standard? Does laughter meet the standard? Levitation meet the standard? It doesn't violate the scriptures. So we can believe all things and hold fast to that which is good. If somebody says, the devil came to me and told me to do this, this, and this, it violates the standard because it says we're not to listen to evil. We're not to hold on to evil things. So when we talk about the Bible as the standard, it doesn't eliminate the supernatural. But everything is judged by the it is written, as Deaconess Rachel aptly pointed out with her last message. Okay. Now let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. 2 Corinthians, I'll do it Donald Trump's way because it's his birthday today. 2 Corinthians 4, 9. I hate to tell these jokers that both are acceptable ways of pronouncing Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Depends on what part of the country you're from or what area. But never mind, anything to mock. So we find it written in the 2 Corinthians 4, 9, which is most interesting. It says, what does it say?
Persecuted.
Yeah, that's what it says. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in her body. Now, I am telling you, as to Teresa Newman and Padre Pio, who actually had the stigmata visible marks in their hands, I want you to know that you and I should have those same marks in our inner man. That's why my famous, I've always say this to you, I hope that you memorize it, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All of us, when we're born again, start to bear the marks of the Lord Jesus because I am crucified with Christ. The ultimate. The ultimate. Now, as we go, I'm going to have you go to Acts chapter 9 for a few moments, please. Acts chapter 9. The next word I'm going to put on the board is bona fides. Let me take this down. Bona fides. Who knows what that is? Bona fide. Yes. Bona fides. Say it again out loud, Megan.
Good faith.
Good faith. I'm going to say something that you need to know. If you go into a doctor's office and you look at the wall, what do you normally see?
Degrees.
There are degrees. Exactly, Scott. Exactly. They have bona fides. They usually have their license. They have their credentials.
Yes.
And anytime they write a book, their names are followed by A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, and they always talk about, well, they wrote 40 books and they did this and they did that. And if you ever listen to the news media, which I'm starting to realize I'm not that much interested anymore because I don't know when they're lying or if they're telling the truth.
They're always lying.
That's a good place to start off.
If the lips move, they're lying.
But bona fides is your credentials. Your credentials. What gives you the right to treat somebody for a certo? What gives you the right to advise them on the law? What gives them the right to teach, if you will, mathematics? What gives them the right? It's their bona fides. What do they carry with them? God demonstrates this in Deuteronomy 13. He says, how do you test a prophet? There's a test for a prophet. Does everything they prophesy come to pass? And it says, if it doesn't, you're no longer to pay attention to them until they build a track record. I hate to tell you this, as you are beginning to move in the prophetic, there will be times when you may not get it right. But does that mean you're a false prophet? No. It means you're still in the learning process. And there's a point in time that you come to where your word becomes more sure, and more sure. And then you develop what we call bona fides. You develop a style. So, in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, let me put my glasses on. I continually going to argue this. They argue this point with me all the time. But I'm sorry. I don't mind being right all the time. But generally speaking, I have made a mistake. One. Two. And if I want my bona fides, Sharon will tell you all the mistakes that I made, but so it goes. And Saul was on his way to Damascus. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord and went unto the high priest. And he got letters in verse 2. And he journeyed to Damascus. And suddenly there shone around him in verse 3 a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? This should be interesting to us all. Paul was coming against the churches, against believers. And Jesus takes it personal. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Do you know we have an advocate to the Father? That when things happen to you or people come against you, they're not just hurting you or cheating you or being unkind to you or unloving to you. You're touching Jesus. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the goads or the pricks? You keep chiding. Every time I poke you, every time I send my Holy Spirit to you to poke you, to tell you that's wrong, your conscience is not being affected. And we know it says, and he trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him, speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. And they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. He must have been thirsty and hungry. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight. If you go to the book of Hebrews, you'll find, make your path straight, that the lane be not turned out of the way. What does that mean? A way of holiness, there's power. Jesus rose from the dead, had power, resurrection power, according, in Romans chapter 1, the Spirit of holiness. Tonight, was an in-stream pastor, we were, that song, Holy, I just felt the Spirit of God, come on. Holy, holy, holy. And inquired of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, and he received his sight. So Paul was told in a vision. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. Here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Do what I tell you. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. To do what? To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I, in verse 16, I want you all to read it with me. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Nobody likes that part. Showing the great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul had bona fides. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, of the stock of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, beaten, whipped 5 times, 39 stripes, beaten with rods 3 times, shipwrecked 2 times. He had borne in his body being stoned in Lystra. You talk about a guy that had problems serving the Lord, it is Paul. Paul, he had developed his bona fides. And some of you have had a chance, because many of you have got degrees, know Dr. Bob Carter. And Dr. Bob Carter told me a story that I never forgot. And if I told you the story, it could go with the flow, Natalie. Rachel. But he talked about the time that he was fixing the head and the bolts on his car. And he went into the auto shop to get these bolts. And there was an old man there at the counter, an old man, older than me. And he said, I need head bolts for my 57 Chevy. And the old man said, okay. He turns around, climbs the ladder, and he went and got the deadbolts, put them on the counter, and he says, they are $5 a piece, and so $30, please. And Dr. Carter noticed right next to him was this little tray with identical deadbolts that were for $1.50. And he looked at $5 deadbolt and this $1.50 deadbolt, and he says, why should I pay $30 for this that are identical? And so the old man said, well, if you want to get those, you can. So he sold them for $1.50, six deadbolts. And he left the store, the auto store. He was kind of shaking his head. Why would that old man, he looked nice, tell me, get these other deadbolts for me? And he was so bothered by it, so bugged by it, he turned around, went back, and called the old man over. The old man kind of comes over. He says, can I help you? Why were you trying to sell me the $5 head bolts instead of the $1.50 head bolts? The old man, with a twinkle in his eye, said, no, the difference, son, is this. The $5 head bolts are heat-treated. The bolts that are in the thing for $1.50 are not. He says, these will endure the type of racing that you do. These will not. You see, sometimes wisdom comes by those that have walked before you. Many people think that they can go and learn to be prophets and choose to go to churches where there are no prophets or prophets in training. There are those that believe that they can teach, but they are not in a teaching church. They're in a church of exhortation. And they expect to be teachers. You cannot be better than your master. The scriptures are clear. You want to be a prophet? As God called you to be a prophet, you are with the prophets. Teacher, likewise. Listen, I've gotten in trouble. The pastor knows this. She has whipped me many a time. And she was right. But people have said, well, I want to prophesy in my church. This is good. That's a good thing. I said, if you want to be a prophet, you need to be in the school of prophets to learn. They said, oh, I'll learn because the Spirit of God teaches me. As if God's prophets can't teach you. Notice that this Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, was trained as a Pharisee. He knew the scriptures. He didn't have to go through a beginning course of the Torah or the Tanakh. He knew them. And the Lord began to tell him that the path that he had for them, for him to walk, was a path of great suffering. So that when we look in the scriptures and we look at Galatians, he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, let's talk about you. All of you. I've known many of you for a long time. And I've known many of you that have gone through literal hell and suffering. I know many of you that have been discouraged, wanted to throw in the towel, and there are people that have left because they said, I just can't handle it. I was better off. And actually, they weren't. To know him and the power of his resurrection is the greatest gift of all. That's being born again. We all are rejoiced that we're born again. And it's called the spirit of redemption, being born again. He redeems us. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But yet, we celebrated several weeks ago Pentecost, which is the Holy Spirit of promise. Then finally, God wants us to come to a place where we're born of God. You can see that in Romans, or approved. So tonight, as we think about the suffering that Paul went through, that's why it says in Corinthians, in everything we're enriched by him. Every bad circumstance, Michael, every bad situation, every sickness, you're enriched by the Lord. Because what is he doing? He's placing in your body stigmatas. That's what he's doing. So that we can truly say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. Tonight, we need to press towards him so that we can bear his marks and identify him not only in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless each and every one of you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. In the precious name of Jesus.